Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we will face the issues. This program is dedicated to seeking the truth. In facing the issues, we need to know the truth in each issue and with each circumstance. The Bible is very clear that Jesus said, speaking of the Word of God, thy word is truth. In John 17:17, Jesus had already said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We seek answers. We seek the truth in those answers. And the only way to do that is through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's not what the media says. It's not what the politicians may think or say. It's not even what the general temperature of society may reveal. It is what the Word of God says that has all the weight and should be the guiding principle in your life and in mine. This is a question and answer radio call-in broadcast, giving you, the listener, the opportunity to join in the discussion. Jump in wherever you like, asking your question. You can call us at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Ask your question, give your comment, and if some use the term, you can add your 2 cents worth. That's wonderful. I want us to understand we may disagree on some issues, but we're not going to be disagreeable over it. Let me remind us also on tomorrow's broadcast, if you have any interest in, or if you've been reading about, or if you have been inoculated with the demonic spirit, and I say that very, very carefully and clearly, of Pokemon Go, I encourage you to join this broadcast right here tomorrow at the same time. We're going to be dealing with, what is Pokemon? Where did it come from? Is it evil? Is it dangerous? Is it something that believers ought to be involved in? Is it something that the world should be hooked on and following? What are the dangers? What's wrong with it? Is it possible for Big Brother to be utilizing that to follow and trace everybody? What is the real intent of Pokemon Go? And then on Thursday, we're going to look at war with Islam. You heard the news today, I'm sure, of the dear priest in France that had his head cut off right in the worship service, beheaded. Normandy, France, beheaded while in a worship service by an Islamic terrorist. Now, we are at war. However, the head of France just made the announcement that they're at war with us, so therefore we declare war against Islam. May I remind us that's what's needed in America today as much as anything else, regardless of who the candidate is, whether it is Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. We need to recognize that we are at war with Islam. So Thursday's broadcast will be dealing with a pretty broad brush coverage of our war with Islam. By the way, I'll be talking about 2 books that I've had the privilege of publishing in the past few years. One is The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. We're watching it come to pass. the coming global Islamic invasion. And then we will discuss the second book, Is Islam Tolerant? 25 chapters that very succinctly answers the question that Islam is the most intolerant, unholy, ungodly, wicked, demonic religion on the face of the globe. And then on Friday, we'll look at the real mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? What is the 666? How does it come about? Are people gathered in handcuffs and chains and somehow carried off to some headquarters or police or military, and then they're stamped with the 666 on the forehead, on the back of the hand? Just how is it carried out? Is it something that's done involuntarily, or is it something that's done voluntarily? What is the 666? What does it mean? What does it stand for? How do we relate to it? But today we want to talk about some of the issues that I believe is the germinating, revealing factor of what we're finding on a global basis. You've heard the term, I'm sure, that we're living in the last days. There's some that disagree with that, some that don't even know what that means when I say we're living in the last days. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about biblical truth. We're talking about seeking answers and resolutions to the problems that we're faced with in society as individuals, as human beings that live on planet Earth. And if we are ignorant to the Word of God, if we refuse to know the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word, if we refuse to allow it to have impact and in place in our lives, then we're rejecting the truth that is needed for us to have wisdom each day to make decisions. We're living in the last days. If that's not the case, then we're in major, major problem in what we're seeing based on global events here in America and around the world. 47 people, for example, shot in Chicago just over this last weekend. 2,300 been killed in Chicago just this year, and the year's not just about half over. And then in Normandy, France, with a priest standing in his pulpit, being beheaded right before the congregation. I don't know if you could pick any two greater luminaries that would validate the statement that something is woefully wrong. Something is desperately wicked. Something has gone awry someplace on our globe and in America. And that is that we're finding ourselves in the last days. We live in the last days. The Bible calls it the last days. Some places it's referred to as the last times. What are the last days? What are the last times? What are some of the indicators? The last times and the last days are days of distress, division, discord, difficulties, devastations, and darkness. I'm talking about spiritual darkness, wickedness in high places. We need to understand the day in which we live is a day and time of the last days. One of the proof texts that we know that is found in the Scripture in relationship to apostasy. We see apostasy, the falling away. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." We'll exegete that text in a moment. We'll look at what that text means. But we see this, days of apostasy, the last days. We see this in what I call play church. Play church. You know, our kids grow up in our homes, they play house. They set up a little house that may be made out of cardboard. One is mommy and one is daddy with the son and the daughter. They gather the little utensils and put them in the playhouse, and they make up the little bed in the playhouse, and they call it the playhouse. They're playing house. They're playing like their moms and dads. They're playing like they're adults. May I suggest that we're doing that in our churches today? We're playing church. It is pretend church. It's hypocrisy church. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not trying to condemn all churches and denominations. God forbid. I'm not trying to do that at all. But most churches today, if you disbelieve my philosophy and theory, hypotheses, if you want to call it that, but I call it truth from the Word of God, if you disbelieve that we're living in the last days, if you disbelieve that we are living in the days of apostasy, then answer a few questions. You can answer them to yourself. You can pick up the telephone and you can dial 401-1413 and share with me and the radio listening audience your philosophy and your opinion on this subject. I think it's a very valid, viable, needful subject for us to listen and think seriously about today. I'm burdened with the fact that I see apostasy on every hand. If you don't believe apostasy is real, then answer some of these questions. I'll have several questions, and then I'll get to a rudimentary, fundamental answer from the Scripture. Keep in mind, when we talk about facing the issues, we do so with the Word of God as the final authority. When did you last hear a message about the realities of hell? I don't care what denomination you're in, but in your church, when did you last hear a message from the pulpit on the realities of hell? Do you realize 58% of those that claim they're saved disbelieve in the reality of hell? Do you realize that the overwhelming majority of pastors will not preach on the subject? They're fearful that if they preach on the reality of hell, someone might get upset. They might lose numbers, nickels, and noses. Somebody that gives tithes and offerings on a heavy basis might decide they're going to curtail that. And God forbid that the preacher preach on the reality of hell. After all, he might get voted out of the church, or he might get invited to leave, or some use the term run off. When did you last hear a message on personal sin? The need to be Bible-saved, blood-bought, born again. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, you're not safe today, ladies and gentlemen, because you act right, because you pay your bills, and because you live in America, because you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, et cetera, infinitum. You're not saved based on good works. The Scripture says we're not saved based on good works. It's by faith, lest any man should boast. There's a need to be saved. Personal salvation is rarely, rarely preached from the pulpits, cross-denominational lines today. When did you last hear a message where the Bible is giving a clear prohibition on drinking, on alcoholic beverages? Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that there's over 100 verses of Scripture that says in the Old Testament, the God-fearer, and the New Testament referring to the Christian, that we're not to participate in the sale and or use of alcoholic beverages. We're not to be in a position where we place it in our hands and put it in someone else's hands. When's the last time have you heard a message on the need to stay away from alcoholic? But you'd be surprised. Perhaps you wouldn't. Perhaps you're listening with a cool one in your hand. Perhaps you are in a church where it is not condemned. Perhaps you're in a church where it's okay to drink. Just don't get drunk and act ugly. Just don't sway a weak Christian. I heard a radio broadcast preacher that preaches internationally that said that it's okay to drink. Just don't get drunk. Because if you do, you might influence the weaker Christian and cause him to go the wrong direction. Well, might sound good on the surface, but how in the world can you tell the weaker Christian from the stronger Christian? By the amount of God talk he has, by the amount of scriptures he quotes, what can differentiate that? But yet that was the philosophy. When's the last time you heard the biblical prohibition on drinking alcoholic beverages or participating? When's the last time you heard a message with the admonition and the caution against lust and greed and loose likes, lost living? When's the last time you heard a message on? You certainly won't hear it, by the way, on radio or television, because on the broadcast networks, the guru that's preaching wants to encourage you to write a check and send him your dollars. He's certainly not going to do anything or say anything that would keep you from writing a check and sending your money. You'll not find that with these gurus on television that's viewed as having the last and the final and the sole authority on anything that's called biblical preaching. When's the last time you heard a message admonishing you, cautioning you against greed and gravis and lust and loose living? When's the last time you heard a message warning of God's wrath? Wrath, W-R-A-T-H. That word simply comes from the little Greek word thumos. Means white hot anger. God gets bent out of shape. Yes, he does. God loves you, but he gets bent out of shape with what you do, what we do, in sinning against God. And one day the cup of his wrath is going to be filled, the scripture tells us, and that's after he snatches the church out, and his white hot anger, his wrath, he's bent out of shape. He's going to absolutely punish a God-hating, Christ-rejecting, Bible-denying world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. That's what's referred to as the day of the tribulation. You see, many denominations today are accepting homosexual members. The attitude and the philosophy that, well, he can love Jesus and serve Jesus just like anybody else. He just happened to be a little sodomite, and as a result of that, that just happens to be his sin. There's a Greek word for that. It's called horse feathers. No such thing. Any denomination, any church that says you can live a sodomite lifestyle and still be a member and still be saved, you need to check up on your salvation. You need to check up on that preacher and find out where he gets his theology. It's certainly not from the Word of God. What about some of these churches where you have sodomite pastors, homosexual pastors? We're talking about the evidence of living in the last days. Churches that teach that Jesus Christ is not virgin-born. Churches and pastors that disbelieve in the reality of hell. Churches that teach that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. Shame, shame, shame on Rick Warren and his ilk across America. I don't care how much money he has in his bank account. I don't care how many people he says he preaches to on Sunday. I don't care what denomination he is or what size church he supposedly has. He is a stench in the nostrils of God, and we are responsible for sending multiplied mega millions perhaps to hell as a result of his philosophy that Islam is the sister religion to Christianity and that Allah is just another name for God. How about these churches that reject the inerrancy of the scripture? These churches and the pastors that say the Word of God has errors in them and the Word of God is not absolute, that you can just modify it and modulate it and massage it as you please. What about the pastors that refuse to preach the truth of God's Word? We're talking about the evidence we're living in the last days, the last times. When's the last time you heard a message warning against the sin of homosexuality? There are a lot of folks that get bent out of shape with that. Get a little uptight with that and say, well, you know, we just preach and tell everybody that Jesus loves them and everything's going to be all right. My Bible doesn't say that. We've got a big old book. It's called the Bible. It's got 66 books in it. Combined, it's called the Canon of Scripture. It refers to the totality of the Word of God. And the Word of God addresses that subject forthrightly, as the Word of God does all of the other subjects that we're talking about. When did you last hear a pulpit message warning of the need of personal salvation? Are you going to die and go to a devil's hell? Have you heard a pulpit message about the realities of Satan and his demons in the world today and how Satan and his demons operate? I could continue, but you understand my point. It's absolutely clear and can be found in the text that I read a moment ago. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly, that is clearly, concisely, that in the latter times, that's the times that we're living in, the last days, the latter times, some shall depart. That means to leave, to fall away from, to drop out from the faith. It's talking about the Christian faith. Giving heed, that's giving attention to, giving devotion to, seducing spirits. That seducing spirits means the spirits that are beckoning come, the spirit that's leading astray, the spirit that is deceiving and deceptive, seducing spirits. And the word there, spirits, is talking about evil spirits, demonic spirits, unholy spirits. Giving attention means to pay attention to and be devoted to demonic spirits and doctrines. That means teachings of demons. Now, the King James text says devils. There's one devil. You look at the word in the Greek text, it's demons. We get our word demon. Notice there, it says giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. It is the lies that demons will tell you, and you're hearing it from pulpits and from many so-called Christians today. We need to wake up, listen up. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to tell us that we're in the last days, and we need to look up, lift up our heads, and realize that our redemption draweth nigh. The scripture goes on in that second verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means known lies, known to deceive, having their conscience seared, that's their feelings, seared, past feelings with a hot iron. May I remind us, we find that is so true today, and it's sad, but it's true. It is a fact that we are living in the last days. It is the last of the last days, I really believe. Doctrines of demons, what does that mean? What is it when you say that somebody's preaching and teaching doctrines of demons? It's preaching a half-truth. It's preaching a fiat truth. It's preaching and teaching that God's love includes the authorization for sodomite marriages. Multitudes of churches and mainline denominations today have taken that route. They say we need to love everybody because Jesus loved everybody, so therefore we're going to embrace you in the midst of your sin. It's okay to live a sodomite lifestyle. Come on in, let's have a kumbaya moment and just love Jesus. That's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, if that individual is lost. And yet we're talking about the last days. We're talking about evidence of living in the last days. And part and parcel of that evidence is preaching and teaching some that say that Allah is God and He's the same. It's preaching and teaching that God's Word has errors in it someplace. I have found a practice, and I'll offer you that practice. Put a little sheet of paper in your pocket and a pen. Anytime somebody says there's an error in the Scripture, offer that pen and paper and say, would you write one down for me? Would you please put it in writing? I've not had anyone to take me up on that. You see, what you're saying, if you say you found an error, you're saying I'm smarter than God. You're saying God is not absolutely infallible. You're saying that God is not in error. You're saying that His Word has an error, and therefore God made an error. It's a focus on love today at the exclusion of God's judgment and God's justice. God loves us. He is a sovereign God, and under the umbrella of that love is His judgment, His decrees, His justice, His wrath, His anger. And because He loves you and because He loves me, He is going to discipline us, according to the Scripture, many times. You see, God's an unusual professor of theology and teacher. He gives the exam first, and then we learn the lesson. If you don't learn the lesson from the exam that you go through, you'll keep going through the same examination and having to go through the same lessons until we learn the lesson. In fact, in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 3, know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And that's what we have happening today, ladies and gentlemen. We need to understand that it's time for our churches to get back to preaching and teaching the truth of the Word and not just pablum. You see, my responsibility when I stand in the pulpit, when I open the microphones to speak to you by way of radio, my responsibility is not to appease, not to please, not to tickle the ears, but my responsibility before a holy God is to speak the truth in love without any shadow of doubt, without any bending the Scripture and the truth of the Scripture or walking on eggshells. Those that make fun of, make light of the Word of God is what the Second Peter text is talking about. We must wake up and realize that the church today is in deep, 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 may I say again, deep trouble because of apostasy, the falling away. Falling away, you might say, well, I still go to church, but are you vibrant? Are you really zealous to see that the Word of God is proclaimed? Do you really look for the church where the pastor stands, having labored over the Word, having labored over the Word study, and stands and exegetes the Word in your presence, proclaims the truth of the Word, and applies the text of the Word so you can walk out saying, I really know what that text says, and this is how the Holy Spirit has applied it in my life? Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and I shared this recently by way of this broadcast, and you might recall it. I don't want to be redundant, but I do want to repeat it because it's so needful and necessary. Pastor Chuck Baldwin, in one of his newsletters, said dead pulpits are greatly facilitating a dying nation. He says in the statement, for all intents and purposes, and for the most part, the American pulpit is dead. I'm quoting now from Pastor Chuck Baldwin. It has been replaced, speaking of the pulpit, has been replaced with corporate CEOs, carnival barkers, entertainers, motivational speakers, denominational hacks. The Holy Spirit, Holy Scripture identifies them another way. The Scripture says they're hirelings, ear ticklers, wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what Jesus called them in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 through verse 23. And he warns us in that Matthew 7 text, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not done good works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And I do the elongated, paraphrased Youngblood edition. Have we not preached great messages? Have we not sung in great choirs? Have we not leaped pews with a single bound? Have we not talked in ecstatic utterances? And on and on and on with the spiritual gobbledygook. Jesus said then in verse 23, depart from me, the work of iniquity. I never knew you. The saddest words in all of the Bible is for Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God come in the flesh, the creator, controller of the universe, to say, I never knew you. May I remind us, pastors are called to preach the Word of God. It is the calling of every pastor if you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and before Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time shall come, and I say it's here, when they will not endure, put up with, tolerate sound, true, authentic doctrine, teaching, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The word fables means, comes the word mythos. It means that which is false, phony, shell of the real thing. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, the evidence is very clear that we're living in the last days. If you're going to do what God would have you to do, get saved, say yes to Jesus Christ. Get in a church where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed. Serve him, honor him, being salt and light where you live, where you worship, where you work, that we might say, God, take my life and let it be only always used for thee. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for your participation. I pray that you'll join us again tomorrow, same time, same station, here at 5 o'clock as we face the issues. Thank you, and God bless you today.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist?
Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.